Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Central Depository Services (India) Limited conference call hosted by Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities. Participants, please note this call is only for buy side as a part of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities annual investor conference. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sonal Gandhi from Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities. Thank you and over to you, ma'am.
Good morning to everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to this session with CDSL. The management is represented by Mr. Sunil Alvares, MD and CEO, CDSL Ventures Limited, Mr. Ramkumar K, Chief of Business Development, Operations and New Projects, CDSL, Mr. Girish Amesara, CFO, CDSL, Mr. Swarup Gopi, Vice President, and Mr. Nilesh Kittur. As part of our annual investor conference, I would request the management to commence this session with some opening remarks on the business environment as it stands today, further to which we can open the floor to Q&A. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Hello. Good morning to everyone. I am Girish Amesara, CFO of CDSL. With me, Sri Ramkumar has also joined the call, who is Chief of Business and Operation at CDSL. Mr. Sunil Alvares has also joined the call. He's MD and CEO of the subsidiary CDSL Ventures Limited. And apart from that, Nilesh Kittur and Mr. Swarup Kumar Gopi from finance team has joined the call. CDSL welcomes you all for this call, and I hope all of us are aware of the operation of the CDSL. CDSL is the first listed depository, and it's into the business of depository services. And we can start the question and answer sessions if everyone is okay with that.
Thank you very much. Yes. We now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Sonal Gandhi. Please go ahead.
Sure. Thanks. So, sir, you know, I mean, in brief, if you could just run us, you know, through your business model, what could be the key revenue drivers from here on? Especially, you know, I mean, if I look at your annual charges, you know, that you charge or transaction basis. So any kind of outlook, you know, if you could just help us with that for FY23.
Okay. So, I will briefly explain about the revenue that we earn as a CDSL, as a depository. So our, you know, revenue largely consists of income from issuers, income from transaction charges, income from our subsidiary, wholly owned subsidiary, that is online data charges. Basically, they are KRA charges and corporate and IPO related income. These are the four main income that we earn. Apart from that, we also have income earned from cash statements, e-voting, and other miscellaneous area of our operation. So the income stream, which I said, which are four major stream, is contributing to almost 85% to 90% of our total revenue. And apart from that, you know, as I explained, the other income constitute to roughly around 12% to 15% of the overall total income. And I wanted to say one thing, that we will not be making any futuristic statement while on the call. And hence, we should restrict our question only to with respect to financials and other business strategies with respect to the year which has gone by, and with respect to any futuristic statements on the predictability of income or predictability of business, we will not be able to make any comments as of now. I hope I have answered your question.
Sure, sir. I was looking at more, in case of transaction charges. So even when basically we would be charging only on the cash delivery and nothing else. So how do we, probably not futuristic, but just to understand the business, probably even when the markets are not doing well, when we see some selling happening, shouldn't that, income kind of remain intact or not go down much, in line with the broader indexes? Just wanted to understand that more.
So the depository charges in terms of transaction charge is based on every debit that happens to a demat account, irrespective of the volume. Okay. So if you are doing a transaction of say one share, then the same amount of charges that you will be paid to depository for transacting one share or more than one share. So that is the charge module implemented as of now, and the competition also does the same module of charge. Our charges ranges from starts from 5.50 rupees and goes down to around 4.5 paise based on the
4.25 rupees, sir.
Sorry, 4.25 rupees based on the volume of transaction generated by that particular depository participant. So this is how the structure of our transaction charges income processing is carried out. Now, to answer your question on the volatility of market, again, it is based on the debit in the demat account. So if there are delivery based volumes happening, okay, then there would be an income accrued to depository. I hope I have answered the question.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raghav Garg from Nirmal Bang. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thanks, sir. Just wanted to, get some sense on how exactly do you charge on the insurance depository business and the warehouse receipt business. Just wanted to understand how exactly do you monetize, in this business, if you can just throw some light there.
Ramkumar, can you take this question?
Sorry, I couldn't hear it properly, sir. If you can repeat the question.
Sure. Sir, I was asking in the insurance depository business as well as in the warehouse receipt business, what exactly, how should we understand the monetization of the business, or how do you make revenues there? How should we understand about the charges that you implement?
Fine. So basically, your question is related to how we charge for holding policies in the electronic form in CRS and for holding commodities in the electronic warehouse receipt form in the CCRS system, just like your previous system, CDSL, right?
That's right.
Okay, First I will explain about CRL, then I'll go into CCRL. CRL is the insurance repository. So here we charge the, there is no charge on the investor or the policyholder, as we call them, in the life insurance or general insurance parlance. So the policyholder doesn't pay anything for the services used. Who pays for this is the insurance company. So we use the word insurer. So insurance company makes a payment. There are two types of payment that they make. One is a one-time payment, which is for creating or setting up a policy. So creating means it could be a fresh policy that is credited directly in the electronic form in the CIRL system. So that is called e-policy. Second type is where you already hold a policy and you want to get it converted into electronic form from the physical. So this is equivalent to our DMAT as we have it in CDS or in the certificate market. So these are the two types by which the policies are credited into the system. As far as charges are concerned, again there are two types of charges. First charge is for the setup or conversion. Second charge is for the AMC. So setup charge is ranging from 5 rupees to 10 rupees depending on the volume given by a particular insurance company. 5 rupees to 12 rupees depending on the volume given by the insurance company. And AMC charges typically is about 5 rupees per annum for a policy. Typically the AMC will be triggered only for a life insurance policy and maybe for some health policies and motor policies, which are few and far between. Those are multi-year policies. Otherwise, by definition, a general insurance policy only takes, we get only one-time fees for the creation of the policy. So this answers the question about your charges for insurance repository. In the case of CCRL, that is commodity repository also, the logic is more or less same. The logic is that the payment is made here by the concerned entity. So it could be a farmer or entity means it could be a farmer or a trader or anybody else who holds the stock in the physical form with the warehouse. So this person makes a payment based on the tonnage stored by him in a warehouse. This is one part of the charge. Second part of the charge is the warehouse storage charges also get built into this person's holding, because it depends on where the location of the warehouse is, what is the rate charged by that particular warehouse, and what is the frequency of the charges, based on which the charges are made by the warehouse on him through the repository. The third type of charge is the charge that we charge to the in case of a pledge case to the pledgee. So here there will be what I explained earlier was the deposit charge followed by the storage charge, which is also kind of deposit charge. Then for a transaction, there are two types of transaction. One is the pledge transaction where we charge the pledger and as well as the pledgee, just like in the securities repository. Again, this is based on the tonnage. The second type of transaction is a debit type of transaction, which could be because of off-market transaction or it could be because of a market transaction resulting from a delivery that is initiated because of some transaction that is carried out in the derivatives market, that is NCDX or NCX or BSE or NSE, as the case may. So here also it is based on the time. This I hope answers the question.
Yes.
Hello?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Raghav, we are unable to hear you. Do you have any follow-up question?
My question has been answered. Thanks.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pritesh from Lucky Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
I had not attended the sort of a call. If you could help us give the 551 crore FY22 revenue breakup in our key line items of transaction charge, issuer, corporate action, KYC, e-voting.
Sure, I will give that. So you want quarterly numbers or you want yearly?
Annual. I just want the annual number.
Okay. So transaction charge, we had closed at 199.48 crores.
KRA could give alongside FY22 also. So you know, I'll just note down if you have it handy.
So I will start with transaction charges in FY20. In March 22, we closed at 199 crore, as against previous year of 119 crore. Online data charges, we had closed at 120 crore, as against 56 crore of previous year. IPO corporate action charges, we had closed at 60.53 crores, as against 33 crores in the previous year. Annual issuer income, we had closed at 115.40 crore, as against 86 crore again the previous year. Apart from that, cash statement income, we had closed at 16.25 crore, as against 12.5 crore in the previous year. In case of e-voting income, we had closed at roughly 9 crore, as against 6.61 crore in the previous year. So these are the major income items that I have described, and rest are all contributing around 2 to 3% to overall revenue.
So data, so KYC will be your data charges?
The online data charges is the KYC, KRA income. 120 crore as against 56 crore.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. And the expense line, which I see at about, let's say, 45, 46 crore per quarter now.
Okay.
Sorry, 47 crores per quarter roughly. This expense line, how do you see it panning out?
See, if you look at our expense, largely our expenses are on four fronts. Technology cost, employee cost, regulatory cost, and other business ancillary cost. Okay. Now, we being into some kind of an service provider related activity, which is largely depending on technology, we will have these two costs, employee cost and technology cost, contributing to a major chunk of the total expenditure. Apart from that, regulatory cost is something, which will increase based on our increase in the overall operating profitability, because there is a SEBI stipulation that 5% of our operating profit has to be contributed to the investor protection fund. So that is a variable portion. As and when there is a higher operating income, this cost will increase. So roughly last year, our overall cost was around 10% of our total cost. Apart from that, the other administrative expenditure in terms of audit fees, insurance, director sitting fees, inter-KRA expenses, and routine administrative related expenditure will consist the last portion.
So your variable expense will be regulatory, whereas employee and tech cost will move at a certain rate.
Yes. Employee and technology would be kind of a fixed cost that we have to incur irrespective of whether there is a business opportunity or not. But technology and other expenses are some kind of variability in that. So higher the business, higher will be that cost.
And on your income side, what will vary it with market volumes will be basically transaction charge, corporate tax, and issuer charge.
Issuer is more or less it will not be impacted by the volatility of the business, because once issuer is admitted, and unless there are withdrawals in terms of decreasing folios or withdrawals by listed entities from the overall market sphere, otherwise issuer income is going to remain constant. The market volatility related income would be largely transaction charge and KRA income.
Issuer charge will be linked with the number of corporates basically, right?
So it is based on the issuer listed company admitted with the depository.
Yes. And sir, here there was some price increase taken, and this SME related dematting. What is the progress there in issuer charges?
In issuer charges, generally what it happens in past, what it had happened that every 5 years, both the depository used to approach SEBI, and SEBI used to decide on the charges that the depository may levy on the issuer companies. Now, this activity happened and approved in 2015. And based on the historical trend, it was due in 20. But, due to COVID-related situations, we had not decided to go to SEBI, considering there could be undue pressure on depository to reduce charges. So this was a possibility that we had thought that we should wait till this COVID related restrictions are lifted, and there was a general perception that costs should reduce due to the lockdown. And accordingly, we had not approached to SEBI, and we are still thinking as to what should be the right time to approach the SEBI.
For a hike or for reduction?
Generally, all these years, there was a hike given by SEBI. Oh. And that's what, it's a joint activity by both the depositories, wherein we have to give various you know scenarios to SEBI. Based on that, they decide. So last year, when you know in 2015, when both the deposit rate had approached, SEBI had increased the charges, but at the same time they had also introduced one incentive to depository that 20% of your issuer income that you collect, differential amount of differential that you have to pay to the DPs as an incentive. So there could be such a such you know incentive introduced by SEBI. So that's an that's the reason we are still thinking as to what should be our future strategy, and time will let us know as to when we decide and when we go to SEBI. So as of now, this is the status.
Incentive of 20% should be given to the issuer.
Yes, it is differential of matlab rate which was prevailing prior to 2015 and rate approved in 2015. The difference of differential income that gets generated, 20% of that has to be set aside to be provided as an incentive to the DPs. And this
not the issuer, not the issuer for opening demat account.
Yes, yes,
yeah. Sir, one more point, sir. If I may add to what you said,
please go ahead.
This sir was asking a question about SME. There is no separate tariff for SME. SME means I assume that you are talking about the companies which are listed, SME sector companies which are listed in the stock exchange, separate platform, the stock exchange. You are talking about those companies, there is no separate tariff.
No, no, sir. I was referring to some unlisted companies.
Unlisted again, the tariff is only to the extent of one extra tariff slab created for companies which are between up to 2.5 crore, as against the earlier minimum of 5 crore. To that extent, there is one slab additional created for small unlisted companies. So, otherwise, the tariff remains the same. So, unlisted company having 25 crore capital will pay the same amount as a listed company having 25 crore capital.
So, sir, this rate incentive will come as an expense, right? So, if suppose you pass through this, so then the rate approved and the rate charged. The difference will be passed on as an incentive, as an expense back to the corporates who are listed. That's how I should read it?
No. So, the differential rate which was approved by SEBI and rate prevailing before the approval of SEBI, 20% of that has to be parked as an incentive to be paid to the depository participants. Based on further criteria, this you know, prescribed by SEBI, they have given a detailed criteria as to who is eligible depository participants, how he is to get those incentive. You know, the detailed circular has been issued in 2015 when this rate was approved, and this circular is available in public domain.
So, sir, if you are charging, if the rate approved was 1 and if you are charging 1.15, then 0.15 has to be passed as an incentive, so it's an expense, or you are charging 0.85 where the rate approved was 1?
So the rate, in the example, the rate difference is 0.5, 20% of that has to be parked separately to be paid as an incentive to DP.
But were you charging 1 as approved, or you were charging less than 1?
So suppose the rate approved was 1.5. And the previous rate before this approval was 1 rupee. Okay. So the differential of 0.50, uska 20% has to be set aside as incentive to DP, and issuer company gets charged the rate of 1.5.
Okay. Okay. So it's already there in your expense line. It's already there in your revenue.
Yes, it is already, the income has already increased based on the SEBI approval.
Okay.
And there is an introduction of another expense line which was not prevailing prior to this approval. So I am trying to draw your attention that the moment we go to SEBI, there is a possibility of prescribing similar kind of expenditure line by the regulator. I am just trying to draw the attention now on that point.
But the last revision did not happen in FY20 in terms of the rate approved itself. That revision can also come through, right? A higher rate can come through, right?
Yes, there is a possibility.
Okay. Understood, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sonal Gandhi. Please go ahead.
Thanks. So just harping on the previous question a bit. So, you know, despite introducing a new line item, you know, we still had a net-net benefit in terms of revenue. So why is there this delay? Because our expenses are going up. Obviously, the markets are kind of supported, the volume supported. Not sure if that's going to happen in the future. So why is there this hesitance to go back, you know, to the regulator and, you know, to try and at least get the inflation rate, you know, aligned to the numbers?
So you are talking about the rate revision?
Yeah, yeah.
So I had told that we are still thinking of what to do, and we'll decide. Basically, this activity has to be jointly done by both the depositories. So we'll decide the future course of action, and it will come as and when it gets discussed and approved by SEBI. So currently, we are still thinking on that, and we have not yet decided as to when we'll approach SEBI.
Okay. Okay. So another question I had was on the issuer charges. So if you could just explain that a bit more. What I understand is you also charge based on the folios. So basically some, you know, probably the companies where the retail clients are very high, they would be paying more than the minimum limit that you have. So if you could just explain a bit on the issuer charges and, you know, just talk a little bit about it.
Sure. So the model approved by SEBI, or if you read the circular issued in 2015, the process is in such a manner that the fees calculated based on the slab prescribed in the circular, it is starting from 20 crore or it is ending at 20 crore. So the fees model for listed entity is starting from 9,000 rupees and up to 75,000 rupees, depending upon the bracket in which their share capital falls. This value is compared with folio-based revenue, which is prescribed at 11 rupees per folio. Whichever amount is higher is charged to the issuer. I hope I have answered your question.
All right, sir. Understood.
So, Sonal, do you have any follow-up question?
No. I think there is a question.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to answer question. Next question is from the line of Sapna Laha from Bajaj Holdings. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello. Sir, I just want to understand, if you compare your margins with your margins are comparatively better. So can you explain the, what is leading to better margin compared to peers?
If you compare the profitability or compare the P&L statement of ours with the competition, you will see that the operating revenue has increased compared to competition, and our costs are much controlled than the cost of competition. I think that explains the reasoning for better margin.
Second thing, sir, in last few years, you have gained market share from your competitors. So what is the outlook on that?
In the initial statement, I had said that we will not make any futuristic statement, so I will not be able to answer.
I just want to have on a qualitative statement. I don't want any.
Ma'am, I will not be able to make any futuristic statements.
And what is the dividend policy?
Generally, all these years we have been paying dividend at the rate of dividend payout ratio of 60%, and that's what we have adhered to in this year also. So out of profit that we earn in any particular year, 60% is paid out.
Is paid out. Okay, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sapna from Bajaj Holdings. Please go ahead.
So one question I want to ask you is on the KRA income part, if you see the CKYC has also come up and which is having less charges compared to your charges. So what is the beneficial the customer will have to do a KRA with EI rather than going for CKYC?
Sunil, can you answer?
Sunil is there or should I answer, sir? Girish, sir? Sunil is there or should I answer?
Please, please, Rambo,
please. See, so far as KRA is concerned, we have been in operation since 2018. We started off with the mutual fund industry and the KRA regulations kicked in 2011. Post that, To put it in short is that the KYC concept was conceptualized, designed and implemented by CVL. And the CKYC came in somewhere around 2017 or so. And the only difference is that while we do a thorough verification, of all the records which are in, in the case of CKYC, it is more a repository of information. That is, the records are just uploaded by the intermediary. The CKYC does not verify the records. To that extent, and secondly, from the inception for us, PAN has been KYC identifier, whereas in the case of CKYC, they have a separate KIN number. So to that effect, in capital markets have continued to use the KRA, okay, and we are confident that it will continue to happen that way. I hope that answers your question.
Sapna, may I request to unmute your line, please? Sapna, do you have any follow-up questions?
No.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next follow-up is from the line of Sonal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just the last question from my end. Probably in just 2 points over here. One is if I look at some large brokers, they have only CDSL as their depository. I'm just thinking, we have this based system for the transaction charges, wherein NSDL would charge a flat rate and they would charge on a monthly basis whether the transaction happens or not. Could that be the only reason why the discount brokers have chosen us as their as main depository?
Which flat charges you are talking about, ma'am? Ramkumar here.
I was talking about transaction charges that we have. I'm just trying to understand why someone like Zerodha would have only us as their depository and not both the players.
So that might be their decision of the firm, ma'am. So we may not be able to comment on whether it is because of this flat charges or because of something else, but definitely technology plays an important role in deciding. And also the cost of setting up operations is a major factor in deciding the choice of depository as far as the DP entity is concerned. That I hope answers the question, ma'am.
Right. And so any glitches, we had a certain glitch on the technology side. So what have we done over there?
Man, your voice is breaking in between. Not able to hear it properly, ma'am.
Is it better now, sir?
Yeah, in between it's breaking, ma'am. So if you can keep the sentence short, now then maybe I'll be able to understand better.
Sure. So we had some technology glitch sometime back. So just wanted to understand a bit on that. I mean, what have we done in how good are technologies as compared to the competitor?
Which technology glitch you are talking about, ma'am? There are some which may not be applicable to CGFL, so I don't know which one you are talking about, ma'am.
So I think somewhere in the beginning of 21, we had some tech related some glitch we had.
That was not in CDSL, ma'am. That I can say for sure.
Ventures. Okay.
February 2021, you're talking about, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that is not related to CDSL, ma'am. It's related to some other firm, maybe.
Okay, sir. So, yeah, that was the last question from my side.
Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to Ms. Sonal Gandhi for closing comments.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir, for letting us to host you. Looking forward to host you again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you.
Thank you.